Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. This is Mom. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Well, Courtney, I hope you don't mind that my voice isn't quite as perfect as it used to be, because one side of my mouth is a little bit sore still from the surgery that I just had. But I'm going to do the best I can here. I hope that my voice does what you need it to do for this tape. And I really like answering some of the questions about how it was when you grew up. So that's how I'm going to start. And I'm going to tell you. You were wonderful before I even met you. You were in the womb, in my womb. And, you know, you were already communicating with me before you were born. There you were, I don't know, maybe it was you were 6 months already in the womb. But then what happened, I could press, and you would respond. You would communicate because you could feel something, and you would, your hand or your foot on something would press back. It wouldn't be that you were in the womb and just quiet there and nobody was communicating. You were alert, and sometimes Dad would talk to you through the womb and you would respond to him too. And it was a lot of fun, and we hadn't even met you yet. And then when you woke up, when you came out and you were born, oh my goodness, first of all, beautiful. Fell in love with you immediately. Even if you hadn't been mine, I would have fallen in love with you immediately. You opened up your eyes right away, and you looked at us, you looked into my eyes right away, which I know a lot of babies don't do. But it was a bonding experience, and it was wonderful. And what's the other thing I remember? In the first few days in the nursery, we had some visitors, relatives, when you weren't with me and you were in the nursery. And they went in there and they saw you like lifting up your head a little bit and turning it a little bit, more than most babies. Most babies don't do that right away. And just trying to see as much as you could, because you were excited about having come into the world and you wanted to see as much of it as you could. And it was just a very exciting thing meeting you at that time and getting to know you as an infant. And it was amazing. So let's see. What else? You want to know what you were like when you were little and you were growing up? You were easy in some ways. You were really easy because you didn't cry very much. You had a melodious and sweet voice, and you used it to cry just enough to get my attention to do something that you needed to have done. And then you would quiet down and look peaceful and happy, because you got what you needed. Hugging was always wonderful. I remember you being draped over my shoulder a lot, because that was the position that we thought was, that we enjoyed. You enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it. And so you'd have your tummy against my body, and you'd have your head against my shoulder, and you'd fall asleep on my shoulder for a few years. And I think those are times when we both felt very peaceful and very happy. And I know it was, for me, some of the most beautiful days of my life. Okay. You want me to move on here with what was happening a little later on? Sure, I'll do that. Well, there are some things I feel a little bad about that if I could do it over again, I would have wanted to improve. But whatever was not quite good, maybe it had good things that went along with it too. You see, I didn't drive a car. You remember that. You remember that? Sure, of course. I didn't drive the car until you were in kindergarten. So we were sort of stuck in the house more than most people, and just sort of dependent on who was in our neighborhood. And we met a few neighbors with children, and they weren't necessarily the choices of people that we would have chosen if we had a car, but we did spend some time with them, and it wasn't so bad, and it was nice walking around the neighborhood. We did a lot of walking. Remember, you were willing to walk. And after the stroller and you got walking, we did a lot of walking. And it was nice days and pretty days and enjoying the nature. I'm trying to think. But we couldn't do a lot of things because we didn't have the car. So, anyway, in that time period, that was when your sister was born. We spent a lot of time with you. You learned to read when you were very young because we spent time together doing that. And you were smart anyway. We found a way to go to gym school, finally, when you were getting almost old enough to get to kindergarten. Because you had never had nursery school. You never had preschool or nursery school or anything. We got you into the gym school one day a week by taxi. And it was good at first. You were so enthusiastic. You loved doing everything that they had you do until there was this boy who was nasty. And the school wanted to separate the two of you. And we couldn't do it because there was only one time slot when I could get you over to the gym and then Dad could come in by the taxi and Dad could come and pick you up. Boy. It was too bad because it sort of spoiled this wonderful gym experience that you were having. And I was wishing that I could drive and I could have more flexibility, and you were sort of stuck with this situation. But it was still better than not doing it at all. And then you went to kindergarten, and then guess what? You were a little too smart for kindergarten. By that time, kindergarten into first grade, and then of course you skipped a grade, which in itself was a good thing and a bad thing all at the same time, because socially it was a little tough. And right at that period of time, Grampy also died, so a lot of things were happening, and you had a little bit of a hard time, but you got through it. You managed. You were amazing. You were amazing. And you conquered what needed to be conquered with all the emotions, and you got through it, and you were successful, and you started to make friends. And eventually, you really made some good friends. You really did. It took a while, but one by one, you picked up good friends who were still your friends. Remember Allison? Your friend Allison, she started out way back there in first and second grade. And then you picked up more friends as you went along, and they're still your friends. I think it's amazing that you picked up friends way back then, and they're still with you so many years later. And I think it's wonderful, and I hope they stay friends with you for the rest of their lives and your life. Can you still hear me? I feel my voice is like, I need a breath. Okay, here I am back. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, my point is, sometimes, though if I had to do it over again, wouldn't I want to make it more perfect for you? Wouldn't I want to get you more lessons? Wouldn't I want to get you more freedom of movement where we could travel more and you could see more places? And sure I would. On the other hand, maybe we can look back and we can say, all right, whatever it was, maybe there were some things that were a little bit restrictive maybe, but maybe because of that, there were also things that were good and we could get closer and we could, we did other things that, and you became more independent and more diligent, and I mean, things may have happened in closeness with each other that wouldn't have happened otherwise. Maybe you wouldn't have ended up able to be who you are as easily if you had been out there when me driving you around. Maybe you wouldn't have become who you are. Maybe you would have become a slightly different person. So who knows? And so I would like to think that whenever anything happens that's sort of not perfect, that there is some perfection to it anyway. And all I know is this. All I know is that you have turned into, Courtney, you have turned into a beautiful, wonderful person. You're pretty independent now. You're diligent, you're reliable, you're successful, but you're warm and you're loving and you're a joy to be near. You're always a joy to be near and to spend time with. I love being with you. I miss you out there in Pittsburgh because I wish you were here, but I'm proud of you for what you're doing. I'm very proud of you for what you've done through college and through graduate school, but I do miss you very, very much. And all I know is that when I see you, I am so happy to see you and be with you and spend time with you. And I want to say thank you to you for helping me out both before and after my surgery, recent surgery, and for taking me into the city and accompanying me the way you did, even though you didn't have a lot of time, and all the help you gave me this week after my surgery. Courtney, you've been wonderful. And I'm really glad, I just want to say, I'm really glad that I didn't die in the surgery, that I'm alive, glad to be alive. And one of my most important reasons, it's for both of you, you and your sister, but for you, because I'm talking to you right now and I'm focusing on you, and it means a lot. Each of you mean a lot to me, each of you in slightly different ways, but I'm glad to be able to keep living, and I'm glad to be able, as I said, importantly, to be able to spend more time with you on this earth and in this lifetime, to be able to be there to guide you, if you need me. To guide you. But if you find on your own, which is what I hope, and you can do what you need to do for yourself on your own, I'm glad to be with you, to be still around, to be able to enjoy being with you in every minute that I get to be with you. To see you wherever you are, to visit you, to talk to you on the phone, to I am with you, to communicate with you. You're one of the most wonderful and beautiful people I've ever met in my entire life. And you're my daughter. And it's amazing that it worked out like that. And I'm so happy that you are who you are. And that I get to still get to stay with you and to know you and watch you grow older and your life to change and take to make the changes that happen as you grow older. And I hope to be there. I know I'm going to be there now. I know I'm going to be there when you fall in love, when you get married, when you have children. Those are going to be my grandchildren. I'm going to watch your career blossom. Whatever happens, I pray that you be well and healthy and happy with a wonderful quality of life. And I am so glad that I'm going to get to see it, to see you develop as a grown up. And watch you grow older and be there with you and for you. And I'm sorry that my voice is getting like this, but thanks for asking me, you know, to talk, because these are just things I don't usually get to explain and to say. And sometimes I know what happens. Sometimes, you know, you graduate from some place and I just buy you a card. I don't write you a letter. I remember way back in fourth grade, I think there was an autograph book. You wanted me to write in the autograph book, and I never got around to writing anything to you. I can't understand why not. It was kind of silly. Because really, you wanted that. But I think I was thinking, what should I say? What should I say? How long are you going to keep it for? What will it look like in years to come when you look back at it? And I never got around to writing it. And then graduations from elementary school, junior high, all these, you know, I never did anything but get a card and sign it. And I never got a chance to say too much, but I don't know. I sort of like getting a chance to talk a little bit right now. Of course, if it weren't just talking, if I went back and, I mean, I'd edit this thing. I'd edit it and I'd make it a little more poetic and a little more perfect. But I just want you to know how very much I love you and how proud I am of everything you've done with your life and how I know that the future's going to even be better and better for you because you've got so much going for you. And I just want you to know how much I love you, and God be with you, and God is with you. I don't even have to say God be with you, because I know that God is with you. And may every day of your life be blessed and happy, and as I said, with good quality of life and health and safety and wonderful things happening to you. That's what I want. That's what I want, but I also want somehow that we're not going to be separated, like on other sides of the country forever, you know, that there has to be a way that if something happens when you get a job, that we're going to be able to still see each other. So one of my prayers here is if that were to happen, where you had to go to a different part of the country, either we move to, or at least that I'm going to find out that my surgery was so perfect that I can go on a plane again. And I can fly too, so we can go back and forth, and we don't have to be afraid of that. Because I need to be able to stay in contact with you and see you.
Oh boy, I hope I'm not burdening you with this. That's not what I wanted to do. I don't want to burden you, but I just want you to know how very, 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 very much I love you. I do. And how wonderful it is to still be able to be here with you.
So, that being said, just know this too. One of the reasons why I had the courage to go through with the surgery was because I wanted to stick around for you and your sister. So, just so you know, I might not have gone through with it. I might not have. And I did. And it was successful. And I'm going to get better and better now. And by next year, I'm probably going to be fine again. And part of the reason that I'm still going to be alive and well and healthy with a future ahead of me is because of you. And so just remember that that I'm saying thank you for everything you are, always have been, and will be. I love you very much. I think I have to stop now, right? I can't keep going because you want me to stop at 20 minutes, and I think I have to do that. Sorry, my voice got a little shaky there. I hope this works out for your assignment, but I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to do this. I love you, and good luck with the assignment. And have a good trip back. Bye-bye. For now, bye-bye.